lot of people refer to it as the boob tube. But I like referring to it as chewing gum for the eyes. Chewing gum for the eyes. I see some people blinking like they were chewing. Where does this stuff fit into your life? Only you can answer that. I'm not here to say what is wrong and right specifically with anything you could come up with, but I do want to make it clear that your responsibility before God and His holiness, and that holiness that should be our holiness if we know Him as our personal Savior, is to be in control of our thoughts, in control of our minds, and not to give the devil any opportunity at all to deceive us. Shall we pray? Father, thank you again for this time. Thank you for your love to us. For this quiet moment, let us view where this area of our lives would be conformed to what you would want us to have. Let any time that we would spend in viewing television or anything else that we spend time with be only for your glory. And Lord, we know it's difficult to understand a lot of these subtleties that are in the stuff that we see. But Father, we pray and know that the Holy Spirit can deal with each one of us in this area. Your Spirit can make things clear to us that we can't understand. Father, we pray that you would do that for us in a real way. Bless each one of us now that the remainder of this day will be for your blessing and your glory. Amen. This afternoon we're going to tackle a tough one. And I'll probably be a little nervous this afternoon because it's an area that deals a little more with you, but I think we'll have a good time, and I've got some couple surprises this afternoon. We're going to deal with music. And I think if we all come in the right frame of mind, that we will really have a good time, because I'm not going to come from where you think I'm going to come from as far as music. Most of you have preset ideas of what I'm going to talk about when it comes to music as a medium influence in our lives, and I think you're all going to be wrong. We'll see. Okay, John. We'll start out again. Well, why don't we start with prayer first? Why don't we bow our heads in prayer? Father, again, we have just finished another meal that's been provided by your hands, and we just thank you. We just pray that our minds would be attentive and that we would be able to be receptive in these next moments, and that we would be willing to view the things not regarding words that I might say or thoughts that anyone here might have, but that they would be viewed against and with your holiness. We pray that most of all, Father. We thank you for this time now and ask that your Spirit would be here and in power and in strength in your precious name. Amen. First of all, let's start out with a scripture 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. Write this one down. I have one scripture for each one. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 13. So that he may establish in your hearts unblameable in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. Unblameable in holiness. If we take on anything less than being somewhat blameable, we are not knowing what the fullness of holiness can be in our lives. It's difficult. It's difficult for me. It's difficult for you. I don't have all the answers by any means. I'm not an expert, especially in this area. I deal a lot in music. My agency deals with a lot of Christian groups. Dealing with secular groups, I stopped that 10 years ago and stopped going to the concerts about 5 years ago. I was going to most of the concerts even as a Christian. I was able to because I carry a press pass with my newspaper and I'm allowed to go. I can go to anything just by showing the press pass. Most people are courteous and allow us to go in. So they think we might write a story and make them look good. But it's important for you to realize that we do have to be really open now see what God might want to show us. We hear music in everything. It's a part of our culture. It's a part of our society. Most everybody, if not everybody here, has some type of radio. Many here have cassettes. Many have 8-tracks. Most of you probably have some record player or stereo or console or what have you. You have the availability of having music. It's part of our culture. It's here to stay. I don't think it's just going to walk away, especially now. And we get that relentless rhythm or beat of music constantly, whether we go to shopping plazas, we go to stores, we see television, we spend it in our private time, we go to school, no matter where we go, it's around us. And it's got to affect us. Now, in media, there's always an unconscious factor that is always dealing with us in our lives. And in that, it affects us. It affects our subconscious. Whether we want it to or not, it's there, and it does affect us. Now, especially advertising. But all the media uses each other to get its own goals and to make its own success. Music would be nothing without advertising. It needs album covers. It needs printing of the words. It needs publicity, or it isn't going to sell. Advertising needs music, or the advertisers go out of business. And that's the same with television and radio and everything else you got. Everything hinges on everything else. But we're going to talk just about music, even though it does tie in with everything else we're talking about this week. What's behind the noise that we have from our turntables or cassettes? Is there more than we might understand or think they'd understand? I've heard many, many times, and I've said it myself, that, and a lot of this stuff is coming from where I'm coming from, so when you realize this, I'm not any different than anyone else. We're all getting subdued with a lot of this stuff. We're going to talk about the first area, sexual content in music. Love means sex to most contemporary rock composers. Meaningful relationships are often described as fruitless and painful. In other words, love has only one dimension in general amongst contemporary rock composers, and that is desire. Their main thrust to us, the main thrust to anybody in the world, is to portray some sort of desire. Lust is the motivation for that, and the goal for that is conquest of our minds, if not even a downright just conquest our souls, to that matter. Mere titles have suggestive meanings, and I'm sure you're aware of some of them on your own music that you might listen to. Today's the night. Afternoon Delight a couple years ago was the number one song, and it isn't talking about going out and playing volleyball during the afternoon. Lay Down Sally. You Never Done It Like That. Just a few titles, very suggestive, but not telling at all, but their lyrics even get more so. Every intimate detail pertaining to physical aspects of sex is thoroughly explained in music. First of all, see where I am here. First of all, I'm going to give you a little background on music. Just a thought. And this she can just think about it a little bit. It's a little history background. I'm going to try to span 20 or 30 years here in about 8 minutes or 7.5 minutes on music and see where we're at as far as music and how it's expanded over the years, and then we'll get into a couple things here on sexual content.
This song was out when you were born, probably, by Snoopy Sales. This is what makes Snoopy Sales famous.
Along in years. Everything progresses about 3 years in time. This is all the
dead. Every man has a plan of thought, a plan of thought, a plan of thought. And one man, even when it's thought,
yeah, that's not how I remember Elvis Presley yet.
He's coming with his wife.
That would be 1954, I believe.
Paul knows Snoopy, I'll feed it by Mary's Christmas.
but he wasn't that. With Tom Jones and with him and people like Elvis and that, a lot more sexuality started to move into the music. It had to deal with all of our parents mostly. And I've seen him do concerts, so I know his movements on stage going and stuff, so. I remember my mother watching it in the same gaze look that we were watching it. He had his own TV show. And my mom used to watch it in the same gaze look that we had this morning when we were in a television trance. And yet when the show was all over, she'd go, "Isn't that terrible? That is awful." This is Tommy James and the Shondells.
My baby doll's a hanging thing.
Progression of the Beatles in years and musical style. Remember, this is not for the purpose of entertainment, but to get us to understand where we're coming from the area of music.
You
I've just been reminded, but it has been my intention also. I can tell the reaction from the different kinds of music and the expressions and how musical beat has an effect on us. Music does have an effect on us according to its beat. Mellow music can give us a totally different reality in our actions and our attitudes and in our personalities compared to a heavy beat like the last song. It does affect us. It does affect me, depending on the type of music it is. I broke off a little bit from the sexual area to get through that history up to now. Now we're dealing in the area now. This song's a little earlier than now because I didn't go out and buy all brand new records to record one song off of them. But this song is from the group that still remains one of the top groups and the top money maker and the top attendance holder for all concerts. Some people might like the group, some may not. No, that's your personal taste, but this group is the number one group at the moment and will remain until another group is able to overtake them. The group is Led Zeppelin. You may like them or you may not. That's not my purpose. But listen very closely, especially the front rows. I hope the back rows will be able to hear this. Listen very closely to the lyrics.
I'm going to go to the hospital.
some of you didn't hear it, so I'll repeat the lyrics even though I would prefer not to. Did some of you hear it? Okay, it was, squeeze me baby, squeeze my lemons till the juice runs down, and it was repeated 3 times. That's the area where we're into in a lot of our music today, if you listen to the words. Now whether we want to listen to them or not, or we say we don't listen to lyrics, we just like the beat, doesn't matter. The stuff goes into our subconscious. And eventually listening to a lot of this stuff, it'll become part of us. It's impossible not to. Because I can control your buying habits just as I can control your buying habits by doing certain types of advertising to you. The music industry can form your attitudes towards different things by portraying them through music. The artists themselves convey without any worry that their message is sex and they're not concerned by any moral limitations. How many know the group Steely Dan and 10cc? Steely Dan and 10cc. Most of you know those groups, right? Do you know what those groups are named after? Do you know what those words stand for? You know what a Steely Dan is? It's a replication of a male genital for purposes that I won't mention. You know what a 10cc is? 10cc is a measurement of a male's genital organs. And those groups were named specifically after that purpose stated by those groups. And that is the purpose why they named themselves after that. Now, this stuff is new to me too. A lot of things that I heard and seen and spent time with the past couple months in dealing with some of this stuff, I didn't realize some of the stuff. I wasn't as willing to accept it that readily. But the stuff is a reality. And that's what they would prefer to push. Homosexuality in music. Homosexuals obviously are coming out of the closet and they are really enjoying a frontal assault on our society with many of their morals. And it's evident that rock as a cultural reflection of our society is going to deal with gay pride. It's only natural that our culture expresses in music what's happening in it. And it's doing so with this area. It's on television all the time. Half your sitcoms got something about it on them, or some comment or joke. Sitcoms is a situation comedy. And obviously nobody can beat the person named Alice Cooper. And as he enters on stage, generally he's wearing women's clothing and makeup. He believes he's a reincarnation of a 17th century witch and has been on stage in concerts and does do as a practice, chops dolls into pieces and also makes love to snakes. In spite of this, Alice Cooper was the guest speaker at the Eastman School of Music last year in Rochester to teach on the quality of rock music. Another one is David Bowie. Those who practice homosexuality represent certainly a disproportionate share of our society, but their effects are felt within it and within the music. This song, I'm sure you've all heard just recently, not just recently, a year ago. I'm My kids on my street are still doing the dance to YMCA. Some of you have seen it done or know how it's done. Five members of the six members of YMCA are homosexuals. They know that. They admit that. It's been printed up many times. I put it in the newspaper myself. Only one of them is straight. The other five are homosexuals. Does it come off in their music? One of their hit songs, YMCA, helped them really move them up to the top in that area of music and disco. You know what the lyrics of the song say? Come down with all the boys at the YMCA. It's where we can have all fun with all the boys down at the YMCA. Young man, I was a part of what you were. I was in your shoes. I know what it's like to be like you. Come down to the YMCA and we'll have fun. The song is nothing but perpetrating very clearly homosexuality within their content of their music. The thing that bothers me is, more than anything, is my children being exposed more and more to this kind of stuff. Like I said the other day, one of the top trading cards is Kiss, and that's for 9 and 10 year old kids. It's not for our age by any means. Drugs is another thing that's incorporated into a lot of music. It started quite a few years ago, subtly, like this. Very mild, nothing big pushed in the song, nothing all that drastic, nothing that society was going to get all bent out of shape. After all, a lot of that was in society at the time anyways, and it was just becoming more popular, no big deal. And it just started rolling and rolling and rolling, and of course we have lots of it in the music now. Their attitudes, with this constant absorption of pro-drug attitudes, is all through our music, our songs, and even in the public image of many of our rock stars. It's raised to a level of common acceptance and familiarity. At the International Music Conference, one of the top advertising agencies, the Thompson Agency, because I work for them, I'm probably making double the money, but it's a big agency, and they know what they're doing. They made the statement, record companies and music publishers have earned millions of dollars from extolling the virtue of drugs, with one turnout phonograph records extolling the virtues of forcible rape, armed robbery, or kidnapping. The answer, I think, for that, for many companies, is yes, as long as there's money in it, and that we won't get sued and go to jail. Companies don't care what they put out. And I said that before, and I'll say it again, and I'm going to say it again tomorrow when we deal with advertising. They are not concerned with us. They're concerned with making money, period. If they can get away with it, and it'll sell, and it'll become popular, they'll push it. The biggest influence in promoting drugs in the current rock scene is a lot of the image of the singers themselves. Who the singers are, what they're involved with, what you read in different magazines about them and so forth. Their image is portrayed, and if they can do it, we can do it, is the attitude. Or if they're doing it, can't be all that bad. After all, they're our heroes. Or they're the people that we look up to a little bit in the music industry. Cults and mysticism, from transcendental meditation, yoga, Baha'i, Hindu gods, Maharishi, yogi, swami, Vishnu, self-realization, gurus, Sri Chamnai, and Krishna are all a part of a lot of our songs now. They're a part of a lot of the record covers of the albums, different symbols of different parts of Hindu religion and a lot of Oriental type things that are coming out more and more. George Harrison of the Beatles made a statement years ago. The Lord Sri Krishna's grace only is my salvation. I'm glad that's not my salvation. Rock music is not the only conveyor of Eastern religion in our society, but it is an offender of it, and it does use it. We have it in lots of other areas of our society too. I'm not picking on any, just picking on music. All this stuff applies to a lot of stuff. Satanic stuff is perpetrated in a lot of our music. The vices worshipped years ago were sex and alcohol, and some of today's entertainment heroes have added another, the devil himself. Songs like Witchy Woman, One of Those Nights, Hotel California, and Undercover Angel all purvey satanic worship. It has because the lives of tens of rock artists have been engulfed in this. From Baal worship to occult mediums, seances, psychic experiences, and other things. Joni Mitchell has a male muse. How many know what a muse is? A male muse is a make-believe someone, it's a make-believe fantasy. It can be taken this way at least. It's a make-believe fantasy. In other words, if I wish I had a girlfriend, I can fantasize in private with my fantasy girlfriend. She believes she has a fantasy person. She believes it so much that she believes it is real. And she has been known to leave parties and even walk off stage in concerts so that she can be with her lover. Deep Purple does astral projection in their concerts. They project their minds, if not their bodies, they take their spirit out, project them out in another area of the concert hall, and do this at most of their concerts. Jefferson Starship, their album was dedicated to the god Koa Khan. Led Zeppelin, Jimmy Page of the group, owns a castle by Aleister Crowley. He was a man so evil that he was noted for his murders and a lot of sexual perversion. He literally took the name in all his writings and everything else that he's noted for in that area of the occult. He took the name the Beast 666. Jimmy Page owns his own occult bookstore and is involved in a lot of that as well himself, as well as other members of the group. I was going to show one thing first, but all I'm doing with this is I want you aware, and I hope you're with me, I want you to be able to put this up against what we've been talking about this week about God's holiness. A couple of you know who the group is, but I'm not going to say it. I don't know if any of you recognize this back of a record cover. Who is it? Three Dog Night. Right. Notice what's in this record album cover. I know it's difficult. Okay. The individual is standing over a crowd. The guy is standing over a crowd. Lead singer is standing over a crowd with his hands over the crowd. The girls are all jumping up and down. There might be a few guys in there too. I don't know. They're all trying to touch his hands. His hands are extended out there. The way this picture was taken, the lighting was made so that there was a glow around him and on his body. For those who can't see in the back, there's a wreath or a crown, whatever you want to call it. I would say it would represent a crown of thorns around his head. It's right there. And the reflection across his back look like whiplashes. And you can take it to mean whatever you want, but I know what it means to me. And that used to be one of my favorite groups before I became a Christian. Now that's the kind of subtle stuff. I never knew that. I never knew that until 2 weeks ago when I pulled that record album out. I put all my records away when I got married 11 years ago or 10 years ago, and I just buried them, and I hadn't looked at them since, and I pulled them out the other week to see what I had stocked away, and I pulled this one out. Some of you know Jimi Hendrix. He died from a drug overdose. It's the inside of one of Led Zeppelin's albums, which has Stairway to Heaven in it, which is one of their best songs, I guess. I would say that a picture like that in a record album it looks fairly innocent, but yet I think it might portray, or what I would portray if I was making that for an advertising usage, what they feel about themselves. That Zeppelin is up on a pretty high pillar with a lot of pillar support in it, with their names engraved in it, and it's in solid gold, and it has all the spotlights on it. Now, it can mean anything to anybody, I suppose. But I would have it meaning, if I was the group, I'd have the same what went on the record cover album. I'd have a meaning for it. Group Image, which I'm sure most of you have not heard of, it's another group. Just more underground music. I'm dealing with all things. I'm not trying to pick on any certain area. I'm just going to show all different areas. There's a little picture right here. What it is, just a little thing stuck in the back of the cover album there. Album cover. Now all it is an orgy with one girl and 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 guys. They have a sheet hiding the main parts of them, but and obviously, some of you know the number one disco place in New York City, or has been for a while, Studio 54, which has a lot of its glorious moments in color, which are very attractive. And certainly all this stuff is very attractive. They're making it attractive, or it wouldn't sell.